Santiago and Emma Mata work side by side inside a natural tunnel formed by overlapping branches of Granny Smith apple trees. They wear gloves and surgical masks to guard against dust and pesticide residue. It's a crisp, perfect October day near Mattawa in south-central Washington state. The Matas are not migrants. Like thousands of farm workers in this part of Washington, they live here year-round.
I work all the time, picking cherries, picking apples, trimming and pruning the trees.
The Matas pluck the green apples with smooth, rapid motions, quickly filling the canvas bags strapped over their shoulders. Every few minutes, each of them climbs down to lay a bagful gently into a squat wooden bin the size of a big freezer chest. Emma Mata says together she and her husband can fill a 900-pound bin in half an hour. This orchard pays $12 a bin, so it's a good day. The Matas are each making about $12 an hour.
But it depends. Sometimes when there is a good long row with lots of fruit on the trees, we make good money. But if there are other workers near us and not much fruit, we don't make much.
Economists who study the industry say on average, hired farm workers make $6 or $7 an hour with no health coverage or other benefits. Between seasons, farm workers live through long stretches of unemployment. So the average farm worker in the U.S. earns about $7,000 a year.
I strive to pay a fair wage. And I believe that we do.
Larry Knutson owns a mid-sized orchard outside of Yakima, Washington.
Our base wage on this operation is $6.75 an hour. You know, my year-round people, they're all raising families and are living fine.
I sleep in the floor because I feel better in the floor.
13-year-old Luis Hernandez shows me the small house where he lives with his parents and five siblings in Toppenish, Washington.
My older brother, he sleeps right there in the bed.
And where do the other kids sleep?
Sometimes they sleep right there in the floor. And my dad and my mom, too.
Everybody else sleeps on the floor in the living room?
Yeah.
Luis's parents, Juan and Antonia, are Mexican immigrants. They don't work for Larry Knutson, but like his year-round employees, they make more than the average farm worker family. $18,000 last year, they say. That's still $10,000 below the federal poverty line for a family of their size. Luis and his 14-year-old brother, Jose, work sometimes, too. Jose harvested cherries last summer, then continued after school started, picking apples on weekends through mid-October.
Not all day, but in the morning, 2, 3, and at 3 p.m. to help my parents get money to pay the bills and all that.
Antonia and Juan Hernandez seem sensitive to questions about their sons doing farm labor. They say they don't require the boys to work.
No, pues porque ellos quisieron ir ayudarnos.
No, they wanted to come and help us. It was their idea.
His older brother goes to help out the family. And so he wanted to go too, because he wanted to make some money. We let them keep some, only a little, but some.
Media reports often focus on illegal child labor in agriculture, but it's legal for 14-year-old Jose to work in the orchards. His 13-year-old brother Luis could work legally in cucumber, berry, and spinach fields, but he apparently broke state law by picking cherries last summer. Cherry orchards are off limits in Washington until age 14. Agriculture's child labor laws vary from state to state and crop to crop, but as a rule, they're more lenient than in any other industry. That despite the fact farming ranks with mining and construction as one of the most dangerous industries.
It's okay for a kid under 14 to work in a field using knives and machetes and other sharp cutting instruments, but they can't work under 14 in an air-conditioned office collating paper.
Diane Mull directs the Washington, D.C.-based Association of Farm Worker Opportunity Programs. She estimates 800,000 children work legally and illegally in agriculture. Hard numbers aren't available. One Census Bureau estimate says 155,000 minors work on farms, but that survey didn't count kids under 15. Brian Little, chief lobbyist for the American Farm Bureau Federation, says farming has the most relaxed child labor laws for good reason.
The average agricultural producer is a very, very small business, and family farms by and large cannot succeed without relying on the efforts of family and friends and anybody else you can find to come and drive the truck, drive the combine, put a new alternator on the tractor and do stuff like that when you're in the middle of trying to get the harvest in before it rains.
But statistics show that communal picture of child labor is largely outdated. The Census Bureau says only a quarter of kids working on farms are the children or neighbors of farm owners. Three-fourths are hired laborers. A report last fall by the National Research Council's Institute of Medicine said the government should tighten restrictions on child labor, especially on farms. Commission member Barbara Lee says it's healthy for kids to help on farms if the work is safe and doesn't go on too long.
But if you put them into a situation where they're actually taking the place of an adult laborer, then you have to ask the question, would that be acceptable in any other industry? And if it is not, then we have to say, we've got a problem here.
Luis Hernandez worked on the cherry harvest for just a few days last summer because in the first week, just before his 13th birthday, he got hurt while taking a break to play.
I was standing on a ladder. When I got up, I was playing with the guy, a friend, that was on a tractor. I was playing with him, throwing cherries in on him. Then I tripped. When I tripped, the tire, it ran over me. It stopped right here on the middle of my stomach.
Luis's mother, Antonia, was working on a ladder nearby. She says when she saw the flatbed trailer knock Luis down and roll onto his chest, she screamed at the driver.
He heard me and he stopped and looked down. The wheel had come up just short of Luis's head. The driver then backed off him.
Luis was flown to a hospital in Seattle with a bruised heart and blood in his lungs. He's okay now. But a 17-year-old boy picking peaches in Utah last summer was not as lucky. He died of a brain hemorrhage after being sprayed accidentally with pesticides. Teenage farm workers make up just 4% of all employed teens, but a much higher 25% of those killed on the job. Farm groups say those figures overstate the danger to young hand laborers. Mike Gempler of the Washington Growers League says most kids killed on farms are those who live there. They are far more likely to handle dangerous machinery and pesticides.
But for somebody who is involved in a field work position, who's not working around concentrated forms of pesticides, who is handling a piece of fruit that is going to be sold and marketed the next day, the threat is not there at all. The hard evidence just doesn't stack up.
But federal officials acknowledge they don't know much about the risk because long-term effects of pesticide exposure on field workers have never been studied. Farm worker advocate Diane Mall points out federal standards for when workers can enter a field after pesticides have been sprayed are based on the estimated risk to an adult male, not a child.
We're using these kids, we're using farm workers as guinea pigs to really look at what intensive pesticide exposures are. And as a result, if you look at that population and you know that they're largely minority, that's an even more egregious form of discrimination.
Critics say even if farm labor doesn't hurt kids physically, it may damage their futures in another crucial way. Studies have found teens who work a lot of hours during the school year are more likely to drop out. Children of farm workers tend to work more and to start younger than other children. And it's estimated that one-third to half of them drop out before finishing high school. Pedro Ramos is picking apples in Larry Knutson's orchard.
How old are you, Pedro?
Oh, 21.
21? Did you go to high school here in Yakima?
To a middle school and 1 year to a high school only.
And then you dropped out?
Uh-huh.
But grower Knutson says if farm workers' children are dropping out, don't blame farm labor. He cites his own childhood on an Oregon cattle ranch as evidence that farm work is good for kids.
You know, I started working on the farm for my parents when I was about 6 years old, driving Derek to stack the hay. I didn't work 8 hours a day or 10 hours a day, but I learned basic work skills, and I learned that, you know, when the job happened, you got on it, you got it done.
Farm worker advocates say farm labor may teach wholesome lessons to middle-class children who are confident they'll go to college or inherit the farm. But they say for the children of desperately poor farm workers, the chance to do paid farm work can be an invitation to drop out. Noel Cornelio and Jose Cuevas worked in the Washington State apple orchards as children. Both graduated from Wenatchee High School last year and now attend community college. Most Hispanic kids in Wenatchee are the children of farm workers. Wenatchee school officials say the graduation rate among Hispanic students has improved, but their dropout rate is still 17%, three times that of non-Hispanics. Cornelio and Cuevas.
They make it to the freshman, sophomore year maybe, but most of them drop out those years. Those are the hardest. I don't know why, but
they have to work to keep their family living. That's what they care most about, is helping their family go up, and they forget about education.
Farm worker advocates say the best way to curb child labor in agriculture is to reduce the need for children to work by raising the wages paid to adult farm workers. Farm employers say they couldn't compete in global markets if they had to pay much more. The new Congress is expected to consider legislation to change agriculture's child labor laws and bring them in line with other industries. For NPR News, this is John Biewen.